The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
An opposition TD.
He will be a Taoiseach of substance
tomorrow morning.
Just a sample of what happened in the chamber of the Dáil yesterday. Well, the Dáil is due to resume in just under 30 minutes' time. And what we saw yesterday was complete and utter chaos. Will it be the same again, or has order been restored? Yesterday we had four suspensions, an opposition permanently on its feet, and a failure to complete the election of Taoiseach. It's expected that things will go more smoothly now because the Cian Chóir Leibhéireanna Murphy will not recognise the regional independent group in this morning's proceedings. It's a temporary little arrangement until we have a definitive decision. We're joined now by Paul Murphy, People Before Profit Solidarity TD for Dublin South West. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You are one of the loudest, I suppose, in the chamber because over the cacophony we could hear your voice. I mean, do you accept that the scenes yesterday were pretty disgraceful?
I think what was disgraceful was the attempt to allow the Lowry group of TDs to be part of the government, having had a hand in the writing of the programme for government, having ministers in the government, and yet sit and speak from the opposition benches, eating into opposition time and resources. We opposed this all the way. I was at one of the business committees where this came up, and the government, including this fake opposition grouping, were attempting to ram it through, and it didn't work for them. It backfired for them yesterday. I think it was essential that we objected to the order of business and didn't allow them just to establish this norm that we're going to give some of the opposition time to people who are in reality government TDs. And it looks like, we need to see, but it looks like that principle is going to be now accepted by the Cian Chóir and the government.
Okay, now there are a few things about yesterday, and none of these are mutually exclusive. First of all, obviously bad behaviour in the chamber, rowdyism, vocal gougerism, if you like, that was evident there. Secondly, the government did attempt to pull a political stroke, it would appear, with this speaking out of two sides of the mouth available to those people supporting the government. Three, dumping on a Cian Chóir on her first day. Four, the Cian Chóir may be too inexperienced to do the job properly. Five, she should perhaps have recused herself from a decision involving a group of which she was part. And six, misogyny visible in the chamber. Your comments.
I think some of those comments are accurate. I think others are not. I don't believe there was misogyny in the chamber. I don't think there was... Was it verbal
gougerism?
Look, we had effectively two choices yesterday as the opposition in the face of what I think you correctly described as a political stroke. We could have, you know, politely raised our objections and then allowed the order of business to go through against our votes and proceed, in which case the norm would have been established that this is how it'll be done. And then the government, fine, at some stage later on, they were saying, we'll establish the Dáil Reform Committee and they can look at this. But they would kick the can down the road and then use the inbuilt majority that they have on any of these bodies to establish this norm that we're going to give these government backbench TDs opposition time. That was one choice, and that's where that would have led. The other choice was to, you know, effectively do what we did and to object strenuously to the order of business, which included this arrangement going ahead, and protest about it.
And were you exploiting the inexperience of the Cian Chóir, knowing that she never having confronted anything like this before, following her election, this was a day one, that she wouldn't really know how to handle it. Instead of getting the ushers to dump you all out on the side of the road, she decided to suspend and do various other things and allowed people to continue speaking in the hope of that speaker maintain or achieving order, the order which she could not achieve.
Well, look, I think there are ways that yesterday could have been better handled by the Cian Chóir. I think she could have been better advised. She should have, particularly at the end when she just attempted to ram through, we're going to proceed with the nomination of Micheál Martin when in reality no order of business had been agreed, even against our objections. So there were things that could have been done better. But I also would say, to some degree, in fairness to her, even if you had a more experienced chair like Sean O'Farrell, faced with the entire opposition, apart from Lowry's grouping, on their feet, objecting to proceeding, I don't really see how anyone could have found a way through. That's like when the opposition is willing to stand together, is willing to say, we're not going to allow this to proceed. There isn't really some magical way of the Crown Court dealing with this, except for doing what has happened, which is sitting down, trying to find a agreement.
What the Crown Court has now done is said, for the moment, this new technical group won't have those speaking rights, but the decision will be made further down the road. Wasn't that decision available to her from the get-go?
Yes, and we wouldn't have had what happened yesterday if that had been the original. I mean, the Crown Court has now made two provisional rulings. One provision ruling was to say that they will be allowed to speak from the opposition benches, and then early this morning, we have a second provisional ruling saying that they, in fact, will not be allowed to speak. We obviously welcome the second provisional ruling, but yes, if that provisional ruling had been made earlier, we wouldn't have had yesterday. I think it's important to say, just in terms of a resolution to allow things to proceed today, there are two parts to that. One is the declaration of the Crown Court, as you're saying, but the second is a commitment by Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, which I understand has been given at the meeting, but now we need to hear it on the floor of the Dáil, a commitment that they accept the principle that if you're an opposition, if you're a government backbench TD, you can't get opposition time. There's some particular things to work out about the wording there to, you know, not bar a situation where, of course, someone on the opposition benches can vote with the government. That shouldn't debar them from the opposition. But there's a difference between that arrangement where you vote occasionally with the government because you agree with them on something versus actually being in the government, having ministers in the government and so on. So that's fine if we need to work on the wording of the Dáil Reform Committee, as long as we have, you know, commitment to that, that ultimately won't see the Lowry group.
Now, the question I was raising, and I'm not even sure what the mechanism would have been, but I've been raising it for days now about this whole issue, that the Crown Court, because she was part of the very group seeking these anomalous rights, that in some way she should have recused herself from this decision. Was there any mechanism by which she could have done that? Because, you know, justice has to be seen to be above reproach.
Yes, and she was, you know, she had congratulated or thanked Michael Lowry on her election of the Crown Court. Michael Lowry had effectively, you know, put together the deal that first of all saw her elected as Crown Court and then saw the programme for government agreed. The only problem with that, obviously it makes all the sense in the world, is that we are in a current situation where there is no last Crown Court, and the Crown Court is elected first and then the last Crown Court is elected later. So the issue of her recusing herself,
there's no mechanism by which it could have been done. But I mean, does it not demonstrate
to anybody else?
Does it not demonstrate that she kind of still owes the grouping something and, you know, ruled in their favour, even though whatever the legalities of it are about opposition time being given to people who are actually supporting the government, the optics of it are all wrong and the spirit of it is all wrong. So you're just wondering, does the Crown Court still have a kind of a technical group or opposition mentality? And she'll have to get over that to continue with her job.
I certainly think at the very least there has been that perception over the last number of days, given in particular her first provisional ruling, which seemed to fly in the face of standing orders. Standing orders does say that technical groups are for opposition TDs. So there certainly was that perception. Obviously, she has now changed her position. That is very welcome. You know, we will withhold judgment in terms of Fiona Murphy's capacity to be, you know, a genuinely impartial chair and so on, and see what happens over the course of today will be very important, and then assuming that we get through today, over the course of the
now the charge of misogyny can be levelled. Here you have main party leaders on the opposition side, whether it's Ivana Bacik or whether it's the leader of the Sóc Dems or whether it's the leader of Sinn Féin, all women dumping on a woman on day one. First time a woman has ever occupied the job of Crown Court. I mean, it may not have been real, and I'm sure each of those party leaders would deny that they ever were treating Fiona Murphy any differently than they might have treated Sean O'Farrell. But again, you talk about the optics of the government stroke. Well, the optics of what the opposition did yesterday suggests misogyny.
Yeah, I really genuinely think that you could have replaced Fiona Murphy with Shauna For Real, whoever, Pat the Cope, whoever you want. And if they had, if the same set of events had played out in terms of the same interpretation of the rules, in terms of trying to push through the order of business without agreement yesterday, in terms of trying to move on to the election of Taoiseach and so on, I think exactly the same would have played out. And yes, yesterday was unprecedented in terms of the number of suspensions, the fact that ultimately the Dáil was suspended until today. But, you know, let's remember there were plenty of very robust rows with the last Ciarán Corla, Seanan For Real, and the Ciarán Corla before him, Sean Barrett. So I really do not think that misogyny was at play here.
Are you not obliged, though, to show respect to the Ciarán Corla? And that clearly was absent yesterday.
You absolutely are. But that also, that is respect to the Ciarán Corla's office, which is meant to be this impartial office ruling without fear or favour for everybody, for the Dáil as a whole. And I also think that that is, you know, what fell down here is this stroke, which now the government, interestingly, is walking away from, suggesting there was never an agreement to allow this to happen. I don't believe that. I really don't, because they were defending this and dismissing criticism of it over the course of the last week or so. But, like, that is where this fell down, is that there was a fundamental lack of respect to the basic rules of parliamentary democracy in terms of the role of the government, the role of the opposition, by certainly the Lowry group, but I also think by the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael who were doing the deal with them.
Now, Paul, I'll read you some of the comments coming in. I'm disgusted over the behaviour of our elected officials in the Dáil yesterday. It reminds me of a fight at a match when all the players join in and an ugly melee results. Let them blame each other all they want about who threw the proverbial first punch, but collectively they all share the blame for those scenes. I haven't heard one representative take any responsibility for their party's share in the spectacle. Regardless of the outcome, each leader should offer an apology to all voters today before any further business is done. That's from a furious Cork voter. Yesterday was our January the 6th, a disgraceful, anti-constitutional rout of Dáil process by the opposition. However, on the other side, the grubby deal put together to share the trappings of state is perhaps even more nauseating to digest. The swagger and arrogance of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael deserves to be punished. We have lost the right to opine on or berate the behaviours of any other country henceforth. That's from Gerry Forrest in Westmeath. If you're talking to any of the opposition parties today, you might ask them how they responded to the Ciarán Corla's request earlier in the week to submit their suggestions regarding speaking arrangements. If they did and waited a few hours to discuss it with her as requested, the matter could have been resolved in a businesslike manner, away from the embarrassing gaze of the world's media. So a number of points there, Paul. The question of, you know, did people before profit suggest solutions and have discussions? And were you judged against by the Ciarán Corla after those discussions?
No, so we submitted, together with the entire opposition, a reasonably lengthy legal argument as to why this is simply not on, this is not within standing orders. So the Ciarán Corla requested the submission, and we made a joint extensive submission together. The problem is that this was not just a matter of a few hours. The deadline for our submissions to come in was last night. In other words, after the election of Taoiseach, after a precedent has been created of giving the time to the Lowry group from the opposition benches. And actually at that stage, I mean, the first row yesterday was over the fact that the Ciarán Corla would not even give us a time in which she would rule on this, that she would judge the submissions and make a judgment. She refused to do that. And when pressed, then she said the decision would be made expeditiously. And then later on, she came back and said, oh, I'll make the decision by the 5th of February when the Dáil is next due to meet. She also did not, I mean, the provisional judgment she's made is clearly based on legal advice from the OPLA, the Office of Parliamentary Legal Advisers, and did not make that available to us. And all through yesterday, refused to say when she would make that available to us, even though that is advice to the Parliament, not to her as an individual or even her in her role as Town Court.
Another comment, it's amazing with all that's wrong in the country that this is the hill that the opposition want to unite and die on. I voted Labour in the expectation they would go into government. They made themselves look like Mary Lou's lackeys yesterday and they won't be getting my vote again. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael can relax after yesterday. They'll surely be safe for the next 10 years. The Doyle evolves pretty much after every election. Strange how, and this is about you, Paul, Paul Murphy doesn't object to party leaders' allowance for independence. That was unheard of in the 1980s. Another one, I completely agree with those supporting the government should not be able to sit in the opposition as well. However, shame on Paul Murphy, Sinn Féin and all of those who behaved in a Trumpish manner in our Doyle. What they did was against our constitution and was behaviour that should not be seen in the Doyle chambers or indeed anywhere. It would not have happened in the same manner if there was a man in the chair. I voted for some of those people. I will not be voting for them again. The calibre of our elected officials is falling. What happened yesterday was disgraceful and each of those involved should hang their heads in shame. So,
a couple of responses, yes. First of all, I am opposed to the party leader's allowance for independence. I'm opposed to the whole raft of expenses and allowances and so on that TDs get. I'm opposed to the extra money that the junior ministers are going to get as part of the other stroke that is currently being pulled by the government. Secondly, because it's come up a few times, this idea that what happened yesterday was in some way unconstitutional. I mean, I understand why people are saying this, because the incoming Taoiseach yesterday said it was a subversion of the Constitution. That is nonsense. He will not be able to point to an article in the Constitution that says we were obliged to elect the Taoiseach yesterday. It is not true that in any way what happened yesterday was unconstitutional. And the comparisons with January 6th, I mean, it's just incredibly overblown. You know, you have a situation where you have a significant stroke being done. I mean, I agree with the person who is making the point that, look, this level of outrage and coordination amongst the opposition should not be solely reserved for the issue of, oh, speaking time. I think, actually, the kind of coordinated approach of the opposition should now be replicated on, it doesn't necessarily take the same form, but should involve working together in terms of the housing crisis, in terms of the long waiting lists for therapies for children with additional needs and disabilities, in terms of the health crisis.
Now, this storm, like Storm Éowyn, will pass, we know that, but the question really remains is how much confidence will the Doyle in its entirety have in the Ceann Comhairle going forward?
Yeah, and I think, look, the jury is out on that. We're shortly going to go into the Dáil and hear, do we have the agreement? Will we get a political statement from Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, or one on both their behalfs, explaining that they accept that effectively the Lowry Group cannot sit in the opposition? See how the Ceann Comhairle deals with that. So we'll see. The jury is out.
Now, the good news for you, Paul, is that you've got until 11:30 now before the Doyle resumes.
Oh, it's been back.
Been put back. So you have time to write your apology and deliver it in the chamber, as indeed I'm sure all the other party leaders are doing on the advice of our listener. But Paul Murphy, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.